Good morning. It's such a beautiful day out there, isn't it? We had a minute ago some, I think they were dogwood flowers up here. It's so good to feel that warm weather. I know I was kidding with the children with all this snow that just kept getting bigger and bigger, not going away. If you've ever read the Narnia stories, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, they talk about the snow and how it's always winter and never Christmas. And I kept telling the children that, and they're like, no, no, Christmas will be here eventually, but the snow wasn't going away. But so I guess Aslan has come because the snow is starting to melt. So that's a good thing. We're glad everybody could be here this morning. Just a quick couple announcements to mark your calendar. It's hard to believe that March is actually here. You're saying, no, wait, we're still in February. But when you wake up tomorrow, it will be March. So March is here. So March 13th, mark your calendars. We have the movie night at 6 p.m. We're going to watch Woodlawn. And also, after the movie, you can go home and fix all your clocks because it's daylight savings time. So you can be here, or Polly Marie will call you and say, hey, you forgot to set the clocks. Right, Polly? Yeah. And also, we have March 17th and 14th and 17th, we're going to have a prayer time here at the church, the youth and upstairs. So invite your friends and all for that. So we're glad everyone is here. Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we just stand in awe of who you are. We stand in awe and just thank you for the beautiful weather, Lord. Lord, we laugh and we talk about storybook characters, Lord, that Aslan has come, so spring is here, Lord. But if we read that story, we see that it's you, Lord. And we give you praise that you are here and that you bring dead things to life, Lord, that you give new life, that you make new creations, Lord. And we just thank you that we can come into this house, that we can come here with like-minded people, and that we can celebrate you. We thank you that Easter is coming when we can celebrate how this new life began, Lord, because of you dying on the cross and being raised again, and that you offer that gift freely, and we thank you for that. Lord, as we worship you here this morning, Lord, let us not worry about what's going to happen when we leave church or anything, Lord, but just focus on you and to sit at your feet and to hear your word. Lord, just pour your spirit over us that we may grow and be like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning.
Oh,
don't think I ended that right, but it's definitely in you.
Yeah.
Everybody stand up now. Eric's on to it.
Song, hymns and songs,
thank you, Lord, for this morning and the opportunity to be here and to sing your praises, Lord. People do need the Lord. It's all they really need is the Lord. With Jesus, he takes care of everything else if you put Jesus first in your lives. It's a tough thing to do, to give it all to Jesus. But I ask that this morning may we open our hearts and our minds and we think about our heartaches and our sin and our sorrows and just give them all to the Lord this morning. And we pray that we'll listen to Jeremy's message and that it'll touch our hearts to go out and tell people about the Lord. For how do they know if they don't hear it? And how can they hear it if we don't tell them? We are the voice of Jesus. We thank you so much for this country we live in. We pray that it will return to one nation under God again. We know that Jesus is in control and that his ways will come to pass. And for those who love him, it's for our good. We have hope. We have a lot of hope because we have Jesus. And my prayer this morning is those who are out there that maybe don't have that hope could learn and receive that hope this morning. We praise you and we thank you, Jesus, for being here and being in our presence this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Jen, you didn't send me my comments. I had to. But I did the same thing Tim did, except I waited till last night. And I also did something else Tim did. I just opened my Bible, and when it opened, that's where my comments are. My comments is Psalms 106 chapter. The first, what is it here? I think it's 12 verses. Yeah. It starts out, praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord and fully declare his praise. Blessed are those who maintain justice, who constantly do what is right. Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come to my aid when you save them. And it continues on through the 12th verse where you're praising God. And then it kind of changes. Then it begins to, it was verse 13. But they soon forgot what he had done, and they did not wait for his counsel. In the desert, they gave in to their craving. In a wasteland, they put God to the test. So he gave them what they asked for, but sent a wasting disease upon them. In the camp, they grew envious of Moses and of Aaron, who were consecrated to the Lord. The earth opened up and swallowed Dathan. It buried the company of Abiram. Fire blazed among their followers. A flame consumed the wicked. Now they're talking, after they left Egypt. It didn't take, and God's chosen people, did not take them long to go off to the left and go off to the right. But God still loved them. And then at the very end of Psalms, it'd take me all day if I read the whole thing. But it ends with, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, let the people say amen, praise the Lord. As we come to communion time, this was God's chosen people here in the Old Testament. But for us today, anybody, don't matter what we've done, the love that Christ showed when he hung on a cross and took what we should have got, what we deserve, he took it so that one day we can be with him. It's not so much we be with him, he wants us with him. So as we come to our communion time, let's think about that. You'll have to forgive me. I didn't have a prayer before communion time. I was focusing on prayers that I have now. But I have one prayer request from Connie for Colleen. She is home, has a wound vac on her right leg, long road to recovery, and she will have a skin grafting on the right leg. That will, I'm sure, will take a little time. And then I have one I didn't write down. It's for me. Some folks already know I have not said anything because Connie wanted to talk to some folks individually first. But Connie had a doctor's appointment a week ago, and she had a biopsy. It's not cancer, it's pre-cancer. So she's going to be having a lumpectomy, yeah, something like that. But I didn't want to say anything until I got the okay from her. But she gave me the okay this morning. So if you'd keep her in your prayers, that's will be coming up sometime here, probably in March or April. So, yes. Okay. If you didn't catch that, Joelle's sister, they're bringing hospice in because she is not doing well. So let's take these three to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we have individuals here in the congregation and families that are in need of your healing hand. Lord, we know that we don't always understand why things happen, but we know that you are in control. Lord, give the family members peace and comfort. Lord, we ask that you would be with each and every one here. Keep us strong and in your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning. Are you excited to get into some lengthy scripture? I was talking to Randy and Jacinda over there. We're not gonna go in depth as the Bible did, but this morning we're gonna continue our walk through 1 Kings, and we're sort of looking at 6 and 7, but we're not gonna get fully in depth, because it is a lot of things in there. But we're going to look at the main point. And as you know, as we've been walking through Kings, we're looking at Jesus. We're looking to find Jesus and what his character is. What does he want? Because all of the Old Testament and the sacrifices and in the characters and all of these things point to him and point to his sacrifice on the cross and the things that he will do. So we're going to walk through that this morning. And as we look at these two chapters, I want you to ask this question to yourself. And I want you to think about it. What kind of building am I building? That's going to make a little more sense here in a minute, but I want you to think about that. What kind of building am I building? So if you would, turn to chapter 6. We're going to sort of combine these two together, but we're going to be all over the place. And as you're turning there, I just want you to remember where we've been. We've looked at Solomon and how all of his wealth and power he chose in creating this project and building this temple. Instead of using that wealth, instead of using that power to his advantage, instead he humbled himself. He glorified the strength of others, and he offered to put a hand, his own hand, his own money, to the project at hand. And we looked at how Christ himself humbled himself. Not only did Christ humble himself, as we talked about last time, and took on flesh, but he put a hand in the project. He offered his body. He offered his blood. He offered the payment, not requiring it from us. We talked about how do we interact with people, and do we treat everyone the same, or do we accept some and tolerate others? We looked at all of that last time. This morning we're going to continue that, and we're going to continue looking and asking that question, what kind of building am I building? You see, a man once walked by a building site and saw three stonemasons side by side, sweating over their hot work in the hot sun. He asked the first, "What are you doing?" "Laying bricks," came the reply. He asked the second stonemason, "And what are you doing?" "Building a wall," came the reply. Then he asked the third mason, "And what is it that you are doing?" "I'm raising a great cathedral." Glory is the attitude in our life that portrays that we are doing for the Father what we're doing for the Father is something great and worthy of His kingdom. Let us pray. Lord, what an honor it is to be able to stand and to open Your Word together, to walk through Your truth, to see who You are, to hear You speak. Lord, open our ears and our hearts to the words that You are speaking to us in these chapters. Let us hear You so clearly that if something needs to be changed, let us change it. That we may draw closer to You, that we may be more like You, that we may be able to go out here and to bring You glory. To say that You are all that there is and all that we need. Lord, we praise You. We give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So I asked you the question here. What kind of building are you building? How do you build your kingdom? Here, I'm going to show this video. As this video is playing, I want to read a little bit of chapter 6 here. As I said, chapter 6 and 7, they're very lengthy and they're very detailed. But this is going to give you a picture of what is being said here. I'm going to start with verse 14, and I'm just going to read a little bit of this and watch this as we're reading. It says, "So Solomon built the house of the Lord, and he finished it. He lined the walls of the house on the inside with boards of cedar. From the floor of the house to the walls of the ceiling, he covered them on the inside with wood. He covered the floor of the house with boards of cypress. He built 20 cubits of the rear of the house with boards of cedar. From the floor to the walls, he built this within as an inner sanctuary, as the most holy place. The house that is the nave in the front of the inner sanctuary with 40 cubits long. The cedar within the house was carved in the forms of gourds and open flowers. All was cedar. No stone was seen. The inner sanctuary he prepared in the innermost part of the house, so there was the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh. In the inner sanctuary was 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, and 20 cubits high, and he overlaid it with pure gold. He also overlaid an altar of cedar, and Solomon overlaid the inside of the house with pure gold, and he drew chains of gold across in front of the inner sanctuary and overlaid it with gold. And he overlaid the whole house with gold until all the house was finished. Also the whole altar that belonged to the inner sanctuary he overlaid with gold. In the inner sanctuary he made two cherubims of olive wood, each ten cubits high. 5 cubits was the length of one wing of the cherub, and 5 cubits the length of the other wing of the cherub. It was 10 cubits from tip of one wing to the tip of the other. The other cherub also measured 10 cubits. Both cherub had the same measurements and same form. The height of one cherub was 10 cubits, and so that of the other cherub. He put the cherub in the innermost part of the house, and the wings of the cherub were spread so out so that a wing of one touched the wall, one wall, and a wing of the other cherub touched the other wall. Their other wings touched each other in the middle of the house, and he overlaid the cherubim with gold." Look at this beautiful house that you see here, these pictures. There's no doubt about it, just looking at this, and this is an artist's rendition of what this temple looked like. I encourage you to go and read all of chapter 6 and chapter 7 as you hear the details that Solomon put into this. This would be an amazing place to see. And there's no doubt that Solomon wasted no money. There was no price too small to pay for this great, great palace, this house of Yahweh. But you see, there's a verse that we find in the middle of this section that sort of throws it all off. You see, in chapter 11, or verse 11 here, we hear God's words. God is going to speak to Solomon as he's building this beautiful, beautiful house. He says in verse 11, "Now the word of Yahweh came to Solomon concerning this house that you are building." Concerning this house you are building, let's talk about this house that you're building for me, Solomon. It's a beautiful house, Solomon. It's a big, gorgeous place. I like what you did. I like the cherubims. I like how one wing touches the other and then it touches to the other and it fills the place. I like the way that you inscribe those little pomegranates right there. That's beautiful. I think you did a really, really good job. I really don't have too much to complain about. I think you did a good job. I picked the right man for the job. Is that what verse 11 says? He says, concerning this house that you were building. And that's it. He stops. Let's talk about this house that you're building. If you walk in my statutes and obey my rules and keep all my commandments and walk in them, then I will establish my word with you, which I spoke to David your father, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. See, in the middle of all of this description of Solomon's beautiful temple that he's building for Yahweh, God says, let's talk about this house that you were building. This house that you're building, this house that I like, is one that you are going to walk in my statutes. You are going to obey my rules. You're going to obey my commandments and walk in them. What kind of house, that building that we saw, does it walk? Can it obey? What house is this building that Solomon is building? What is God speaking about? He's not talking about that beautiful temple we saw. God appreciated it. He liked it. But what was more important to God was Solomon. Solomon was more important than this grandeur building. Walking in God's ways, Solomon obeying God's rules, keeping his commandments, that's what God was after. And what does he say? He doesn't say if you polish everything nice, if you keep the floor swept, if you keep the blood wiped off of the floors, I will do what you ask and stay with you. He says if you do these things, walk, obey, keep, I will establish my word with you. I will dwell among the children of Israel and not forsake my people if you obey. If you keep yourself as beautiful as you made this temple, then I will be with you. You see, Psalms 51, we jump a little bit ahead. Solomon's built the temple. It's made. It's beautiful. And what does God say in Psalms 51, verse 16? For you will not delight in sacrifice, God, speaking of God, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. See, God doesn't want the sacrifice. He doesn't want the big, beautiful building. He doesn't want a perfect life. What does he want? He wants a broken spirit. He wants a broken and contrite heart. He wants someone who will do what he needs. He wants someone who will let him take it and mold them. How many of you, maybe you, maybe a child that you have or had, they're grown up now. I know in our house we have a couple that get a splinter. They say, I got this splinter and I'm dying and my finger's going to fall off. And being smart alecky like I am, you know, I'll say, well, there's only one thing to do, and that's cut it off, and we don't have to worry about it no more. And they're like, no, get it away. I'm like, I'm just kidding. Come on, let's go take care of the splinter. Well, you pull out the needle, and you go, and what do? I got it. No, I'm, chase it if you can. They think they've got it. And they stick themselves, and they're crying because they can't get it out. When all they have to do is what? Give control over. Just give control over, especially mama. Mamas are awesome at getting splinters out, and you never know it. All of a sudden, it's like, I'm done, and you're what? It's right here. How did that happen? Mama knows what she's doing. But you got to give mama control to get it out. God wants us to give control. He wants a life that says, I don't know. You know best. Because if it was sacrifice, the author of Psalms would say, I would give it. That's not what you want. You want my life. You want control. In Hosea 6:6, he says, God again, For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice. The knowledge of God rather than a burnt offering. See, we get stuck on what we do for God. I've done this. I've done that. I've instead of God, you are gracious. God, you are the one. And we don't come and we don't humble ourselves before God. We don't let God have control. We have a checklist. And we just check off our marks. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. He wants steadfast love. Do we go to God when everything's wonderful? When the sun is out and life could not be better, when we are at the top of our game, do we go to God and praise Him and thank Him for what we have? Or do we go to God when it's raining and we're up to our ankles in flood water? You see, God wants steadfast love, love that just, you are all. Thank you for the beautiful day. Thank you for the rain. Thank you. See, God says, I like the house that you're building. It's a very beautiful temple. I put you in charge of doing it, but what I want is you. I want your life. You see, what is our temple that we're building? You see, that temple, that beautiful temple, God knew would be destroyed, and it was. It was destroyed. Babylon came in and they destroyed the temple. They raided it. They took the gold and they peeled it off of the walls. They went into the Holy of Holies and they grabbed the cups, the plates, the silverware, the table. They grabbed it all. They destroyed it. In fact, if you read Nehemiah and Ezra, the temple's a mess. It's so much a mess that the king, when he finally comes and says, let's rebuild this, they come and they start picking up things and putting them back. And as they pick them up, there's this scroll on the floor. And they pick up that scroll and they start reading it. And what do they find? They find the Word of God. This treasure, this is the greatest treasure that's in this whole place. And what do they do with it? They run to the king and they say, look what we found. And the king says, pull all of the people together. This must be read. Not let's go see how beautiful we've cleaned things up. Let's read God's Word together. And he pulls all of the people, young to old, and they stand for hours and hours and hours as one priest reads and passes it to the next because he can't talk anymore. And he passes it, and they stand, and the people weep, and they cry out to God, God, we put our hope, we put our trust in a building, in what we do for you, in sacrifices. I killed I don't know how many lambs, and my sins are forgiven. No, they're not. Because if they were, we wouldn't be in the state we're in. We rebelled against you. We shook our fists at us, and look, you warned us. And look where we are, but your word says that you love us. Your word says, turn back to me. Oh God, come back. Come back to us, Lord. We're sorry. The temple's gone, but you see, the temple's not gone. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, Paul writes these words, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body. You see, we are the temple. Do we take, and Solomon, don't get me wrong. Solomon was not wrong and he didn't sin in what he built. Because Solomon wanted the best. He knew that it was God and God alone. So he built the best for God. Do we have that attitude? This is the temple. My life is the temple, and there is nothing too small, no price too great for this life to be built for you that you may dwell here. Do we have that attitude? So I ask again, what kind of building are you building? You see, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus comes back to this. He reminds the people of the temple. They had a temple when Jesus was walking. It wasn't as grand as Solomon's temple, but it was pretty impressive. And he comes back to this and he asks them these words. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them, hears these words of mine, sits and listens to this word, opens this word, reads this word, lets this word penetrate, does these words of mine, will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell, the floods came up, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house. And it fell. And a great fall it was. You see, a life that we live that just comes and says, I've done this. I've checked off for today. I went to Sunday school today. Check. I actually participated in Sunday school. Double check. I offered to pray when Eric said, anybody want to pray? There we go. Check. I listened to Jeremy ramble. Check. I said hello to more than two people today. Check, check. I'm going home. I'm going to pray before my meal. Check. You see, that's a life built in the sand. It's built in the sand, and Jesus isn't just talking here about troubles coming and the rains beating. He's talking about the end. When death comes knocking on that door, the house will fall. Because how many people, when death comes a knocking, do they stand with their chest poked out? Come on. Even the strongest, when death comes, fear. They tremble. They cry out. They beg. They cry. The wall, the house fell. And it's a great fall. Why? Because they're separated forever from God. Separated forever from the life-giving God who cared, who died on the cross that we could live. But you see, if we're building a house as beautiful as Solomon built, if we're building a life that's not just a checklist, if we're building a life that says, okay, God, I don't know which way to go, I don't know what to do, but it's all you. My time is you, my friends are you, my family is you, my finances are you, my car is yours. If we live a life that it's you, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. If we live a life like that, death comes a knocking. Troubles come a knocking. And we don't move. Because I'm trusting in the one that has been faithful. The one who said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a way out for you. You sinned. You broke my law. And I demand payment. But you can't pay it. I'm going to pay it. And after I pay it, and it's said, and it's done, and it's over, I'm going to offer you the free gift of being with me. And all you have to do is walk in my ways, obey my commandments, keep my statutes, and I will be with you forever. Do we see how easy it is? Walk. Obey. Keep. Nothing else. Nothing else. So this morning, we've looked at the beautiful house of the Lord that Solomon built. We looked at how we should invest as much, wanting the best. You see, Solomon wanted the best for the Lord. And he built the best. Because if you think about it today, Solomon's palace is known, sadly it's known as Solomon's palace, not the Lord's temple, but Solomon's palace because he put everything in it. History will tell time and time again, you can go buy books on Solomon's palace that's gone because he put so much in it, only the best. We have to have the wanting the best in our lives, Jesus and only Jesus. You see, our lives were not meant to glorify ourselves. They were meant to glorify our God, our Creator, our Savior. You see, we ask the question, what kind of building am I building? Is it one built on the foundations of Christ, or is it one built on self? Are you simply laying bricks? Are you building a wall? Or are you raising a great cathedral that God can use? Whatever building you're building, I ask you to bring it before the Lord and let Him see. Let Him use it. Don't walk away here just saying, I'm building a wall and I can't do anything else, so I'm no good. No, lay before the Lord and say, Lord, I've been laying bricks. I've been building just a wall. You've done so much more, and I want to do so much more for you. He'll come. Just like He came for the Israelites when they were reading that word, standing there in that rubble heap, crying out, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. God came. God was there. God restored them. God will restore you. Don't leave here just wondering. Have a conversation with God. He gave the best. And He wants to make you like Jesus. He doesn't want you to bring the best. He doesn't want you to get it all right. He just wants you. A contrite heart. A moldable heart. A heart that's willing to say, this is all I have. Use me. And He will. So Greg's going to come up this morning and he's going to pray. And as he after he prays and we sing the song of invitation, let God lead you. If that means that you lay it all down and you start the building process over, lay it down. Lay it down. But whatever your decision is, please come up front and let's talk about it. Let's pray about it, because you see there's the open arms of a Savior that says, come. I have set you free. I have forgiven you. I love you.
Heavenly Father, we come together to you as a body of believers. We thank you for the preaching of the word. We pray that our lives are not just building buildings, but that our lives are consecrated to the work of Christ for ourselves, for others. We pray that we're building your kingdom so that others have the benefits that we enjoy by being Christians. Be with us now in this invitation time. It's in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Jeremy. It's invitation time. And that's a good song. Have you any room for Jesus? Time to ask that question. Do we have any room for Jesus? And Jeremy talked about that. Who are we working for? Who are we building our lives around? I know last night I had the pleasure, I was invited to a men's thing by my nephew, Matthew, and they had a speaker from, he's a big whitetail hunter, Jeff Danker, and he spoke, and he called us men out. He done a good job, and it was the same thing he talked about. He went to counseling, and the counselor said, here's a blank sheet of paper. I want you to sign your name to that, and that's a contract, and whatever the Lord tells you to do, you have to do it. And he said he walked out of there without signing it. And the Lord worked on him a while, and then he went back to the counselor and signed the blank paper. That's what we have to do. We have to give everything to Jesus. We have to give Him a blank piece of paper. And if you think about it, you know, you can have a beautiful picture on a piece of paper. You can have a beautiful letter. You can have beautiful words. How much more beautiful would your life be if you let the Creator of heaven and earth mold it? Let Him paint that picture. Let Him write them words. Build your house around Jesus. Now, I thought it was kind of funny last night. I think there was one gal at the place that came with her dad, and they had door prizes, and one was a gun, and she won the gun. And I thought, I don't know. I knew there was something there. The Lord said something there. I don't know if some of them guys came for the gun or what, but I thought that was kind of interesting. It's like there's a message here somewhere. But it was good that men get together, and I think the men here need to do that more, that we get together and are called to do what men are called to do, and that's follow Jesus, is to repent. He talked about repentance. He talked about hell. He brought it. He brought it all. He put it all on the table, and it was a great blessing to be there, just like it's a great blessing to be here this morning, because Jeremy just, he said the same things all over again. So we're going to sing a song of invitation, and that's the question. Have you any room for Jesus this morning? Again, we thank you for the service this morning and for the blessing of being here, and ask your blessing on this coming week and bring us back again. We love you so much, and we praise you for this house. In Jesus' name, amen.
Fly away, oh glory, God. thanks for coming, everybody. May God bless your week.